Bill's here. Got that on tape? Okay. As discussed, we are doing the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna. So, to the extent possible, I figured we'll just start at the beginning, a very good place to start. And from there, we'll kind of try to move through and see how we do. As we mentioned, the Yud Gimel Ikari Amuna appear in the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos on Perek Chelek, the last Perek of Sanhedrin. And we'll start off by doing the first one inside. Hayesod HaRishon. Interesting, the Rambam doesn't refer to these as Ikarim, rather Yesodos, foundations. So he said, first of all, Hamin Mitzias HaBari Yisbarach. First thing you got to do is believe in God. If you don't believe in God, you're not Jewish. There are perhaps different strains of Judaism which would have it another way, but if you might, maybe you might like blintzes and bagels and lox. If you don't believe in God, I'm sorry. That God exists in every way that existence is. One cannot even consider the possibility of the lack of existence of God, because if there was no God, there would be nothing. Right? So there can't be something without God. So that's not even a possibility. Right? God is dead is not a possibility. God is missing. God is playing possum is not a possibility. God is, always is, was, will be. Up, up, down, down, right, left, all around. Ki v'heder mitziyoso nisbatel mitziyos kol nimtzoim v'ol nishra nimtza sheyizkayim mitziyuso. V'mnare al ribeinu heder nimtzoim kulam zulosa lo yibatel mitziyos Hashem yizbarach lo yigara. What if we could imagine the lack of a universe? Still, that would not affect the fact that there is God. If there would be no God, there would be not. No, there would be nothing. However, if there would be nothing, there would still be God. Not only could there be God with nothing else, but God would be fine with nothing else. God needs nothing else. V'chol masher zulaso min hamalachim v'gufi hagalgalim masheish besochem masheish ramatim mehem hakol tzrichim b'mitziyosam olav. Everything else, the zodiac, the galaxies, the universe, the heavens, what's above it, what's below it, the angels, they all need God. God doesn't need them. V'zera yisod harishon mora olav dibor anochi Hashem elokecha. And the proof text that is brought is, I am the Lord thy God. The Rambam constantly stresses this as the foundation, the number one thing we have to know in order to be Jews. Look at the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos, the first mitzvah. He atziv asher tzivonu lahamin ha'elokus, v'hu shenamim sheyesh shom na'alav v'siba, hu po'el l'chol nimsoim v'hu amru ha'nochi Hashem elokecha. Number one, he said, the first mitzvah is belief in God. Believe in God, you don't get off the ground. We discussed last week that the Bahag doesn't necessarily agree with that. That should be counted as a mitzvah. Not that he doesn't believe in the mitzvahs of God, but the Rambam says that is mitzvah hazeh number one. Similarly, the Mishneh Torah begins with the same idea. Yesod ha-yesodos ve'omud ha-chochmos ledes yesha motzei rishon. The first, the foundation of foundation and the pillar of all wisdom is to understand that there is something that came first. Interesting, people note that the Rambam started off like this, Yisod HaYisodos V'Amud HaChochmos. Why did he pick those words? So there's a reason for that. The Rosh Tevis are Yud K Vav K. Right? The Rambam starts with the Shem Hashem, which is referred to in the Yisod HaYisodos V'Amud HaChochmos. Or the order is that first comes the Pirush Mishnayos. Again, Sefer Mitzvos, I'm not sure. The major works that the Rambam did, Sefer Mitzvos is sort of part of the Yad HaChazaka. So it was written together with, right? And these both predated the Mor Nevuchim. That was the last of the major works of the Rambam. The Rambam has other minor works. He has Tshuvas that are published. But that's the basis. So the first thing you need, the first of the Ikarim is, there is a God, we believe in God. How do we know? Is there any proof that there is a God? Different approaches have been taken. Let's take a look at some of them. One of the popular approaches is brought down in the Medrash. This is both shown in the fourth and the fifth Mayim Makom. Ma'isa sheba min va'omar l'Rabbi Akiva ha'olam hazeh mi boro. Once a min, what's a min? What? Some people say that min is a Christian. Maybe min is Rashi Tevos mikat yeshu notzri, from the group of Jesus of Nazareth. Some people say, other people just say, stam in dunnik. But he, Ambikaris, whatever he is. So again, whether he can, whether he's specific, either way, it's a person who does not believe in God. He says, who created the earth? Who created the world? He answers, Amar Leh HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God did. Amar Leh HaReini Dover Borer. He said, prove it to me. Amar Leh Ramacho Tovo Eli. He said, come back tomorrow. Okay. Lamacha Baratzlo came to him the next day. Amalei Ma'ata Lovesh. Said, what are you wearing? Amalei Begin. Wearing clothing. Amalei Miyaso. Who made it? Amalei Ha'oring. The weaver. Amalei Eini Ma'mincha. Ha'reini Dover Bar. He said, I don't believe you. Prove that a weaver made your shirt. Amalei Uma Erelucha. What am I going to show you? Ve'inatal Yodesh Ha'oring Aso. You look at the shirt. The shirt. Obviously, if the shirt is woven, it was made by a weaver. What kind of question is that? He said, and you don't know, I'm supposed to know that the weaver made your shirt, and you're not, and you don't know that God created the world? Nifter oto amin. So that min left. He said, so what did you prove to him? He said, my children, just like the house, proves that there was a builder. And just like the shirt proves that there was a weaver, and the fact that there is a door proves that there was a carpenter. The fact that there is a creation, by definition, proves that there was a creator. We all admit that there is a creation here. In order to have a creation, you need to have a creator. And just like on the more micro level, a shirt has to be created by people who make shirts, and a house has to be created by someone who makes houses. So too, a world has to be made by the creator who creates universes. Obviously, there must be a God. If there is a creation, there must be a creator. That is the proof of the Medrash. This is similarly brought out in another Medrash in Bereishis Rabba. This is also a children's book as well, which proves that it's true. Vayomer Hashem el Avraham lecha cha me'artzecha. If Yitzhak Pasach, Shimi Basuri Havahati Oznech Vishichi Imech, Ubeis Avich, Amech Ubeis Avich. Omer of Yitzhak Moshal Echosh Hoy over Mimokum Mokum. Said, what's this like a person who's going from place to place? Vah Bira Achas, Dolekas, and he saw that there was a bonfire burning. Omer, Toma Shabira Zu below Manig, is it possible that it's burning with no one setting the fire? Hatzitz hates its love balabira. So the person who was the park rangers came up to him and said, I'm alone. Anihu balabira. No, in fact, I'm in charge of this fire. Kach l'fishay avim avinu omer. Tomo sha'olam hazeh bro manik. Is it possible that this world goes without anybody controlling it? Hates its love akosh baruch bro anihu balaholam. God came over to him and said, no, I'm the one who made the world. Yes. I understand. Well, everyone should feel free to play devil's advocate.
Okay. How does this prove there's
only
one God?
Oh. So again, this does not prove that there is one God. We will discuss that further. But this would seem to... It's just disproving atheism. Right? It's not disproving polytheism. It's just disproving atheism. That the world could not just happen by itself. Just like your house didn't get built by itself... Just like your clothing didn't get made by itself, so too, the earth was not created on its own. Right? Arguably, it could have been created by...
Big Bang.
What?
Big Bang.
Well, again, even the Big Bang, someone had to start it. As we'll discuss. Right? So, even scientists at some point have to say, you know, you can evolution backwards to that first hydrogen atom, but you got to explain where that hydrogen atom came from. So that's why it's interesting. You know, on the one hand, we look at the expanding universe, right? Scientists are more and more convinced of the age of the universe, and the main proof at this point is the fact that the universe is expanding, and we know how fast it's expanding, we know how big it is, so do the math backwards. And if you know it's this big now and it's growing that fast, do backwards, when was it this big? So on the one hand, you know, we see that that type of science is somehow flies in the face of our beliefs. Hey, we believe that the Earth is 5,700 and change years old. We would like to reject this science and say, ah, nonsense, they don't know what they're talking about. On the other hand, this kind of sticks them with the problem that unlike the belief for perhaps 2,000 years that the Earth, the universe just always existed, right? Well, when was it created? Well, never, it just always was. This, of course, proves that, no, it had to have been created at some point. Well, it was 5,000 years ago or 13 billion years ago. This leads us, it forces the scientists to admit that there was a creation. Again, you might think the minimalist view of it, that you know, there was a creation of one hydrogen atom, and whoever created that atom is no longer involved. You can try to minimize it, but a total denial of creation, according to this science, is no longer possible.
That old philosophical question, who created God?
Right. So again, we have no, God is not expanding, so we don't have to say that God was created. God, just like they believe the world was around forever, we can believe that God was around forever. As it happens to be, we do.
Yeah.
So, but we'll deal with this. This is what we're trying to work on. So again, approach number one is the proof of God is the world. Right? No world, no God, if there... Yeah, something had to create the world, right? The world does not create. The world was created. That's the first proof forth by the Medrash. The second one's a very popular one. I'm sure most people have heard this. The actual source for it is the Chovos HaLevavos. Chovos HaLevavos was written by a Rishon. We're not really sure who. Different ideas. Halo Tira. Im Yishpech La'odem Dio Pitam Al Niyar Chalam. Let's say accidentally spill ink on blank paper. She'i efshei she'yitzdar b'menu alav k'sav mesudar v'shitos nikroos k'mo she'yu b'kulmas. It's impossible that straight lines of verbiage will be created. V'yu hevi adam lefaneinu k'sav mesudar v'yima she'i efshei yoz v'bli yimitzol k'lmas. And therefore, if I'm giving you everybody here has papers that were printed, and it's so... Obviously, you would not believe me to say, I didn't have time to prepare the Maror Makomos, and besides, Marlo's out of town, so I randomly spilled ink on the paper. So you might believe me that Marlo's out of town, but that would be as far as it would go. Right? So therefore, obviously, if something is this well put together, it cannot be accomplished by randomness. This is what's called in more modern philosophy the million monkeys sitting at a million typewriters for a million years probably will never produce
Shakespeare.
They might produce the Jewish press, but they will not do Shakespeare.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Maybe not. All right. So that's the idea. So the second idea.
If you didn't say World Jewish Digest, then you'd really be.
That's going on tape. I know where my bread's buttered. So, that's not be buttered there, but.
Did you want me to rewind that?
That's right. This is why Ralph was kind enough to edit these before they go up online, right, Ralph? So the second approach, which is not that dissimilar from the first approach, right? The first approach says that if there is a world, there has to be a creator. The second approach says, even if you deny that, and you tell me there can be a world without a creator, still there cannot be a world this advanced without a creator, right? The fact that the more that we delve, you know, into the universe, our better understanding, if the Earth's orbit was off by a little, or if the tilt was off by a little, or, you know, on the microbiological level, if something was different, you know, we would all cease to exist, etc., etc. And you know, as we go to other planets and see, you know, what a long shot it is to get any planet that's going to have any life on it, there's a greater appreciation that whatever happened wasn't just some random chain of events. However, it's something that had to be created by an intelligent being who really, really knew what he or it probably was doing. That's probably the what we train said. Now, the truth of the matter is, I've never liked this argument. I'll play devil's advocate on this one. Yeah, a million monkeys and a million typewriters for a million years wouldn't come up with it. But a gazillion monkeys on a gazillion typewriters for a gazillion years probably will hit it eventually. Right?
No.
What do you mean no? So, why not?
No, because you're talking about a native lack of...
Yeah, I said the... Mind say what the monkeys are doing here is they're going like this, okay? And random letters are coming up.
Yeah, no.
The odds of it being an A is 26 to 1. 27 maybe, you have a space bar also.
But the order...
Right, so again, they're hitting random letters. So how many letters are in Shakespeare? A lot, let's say.
Okay, there's 26 letters
to
the alphabet.
Right, I'm saying, but in the collective words, let's say there are a million letters. So the odds of doing it randomly is 27 to the millionth, which is an awful lot. So, therefore, it would take an awful long time for it to happen. But if I wanted to deny God, which I don't, just to make that clear, I would say, well, how much time existed prior to the universe? Forever, right? A bazillion years. So, yeah, eventually, after a bazillion years, you'll hit it randomly.
So one ode, maybe, of Shakespeare's, but not the whole of Shakespeare.
Well, again, one ode, it would be after half a gazillion years, you know, and maybe a gazillion years, I'll hit them all.
You also don't have to have just one. You know, if you're starting from scratch, it doesn't mean that the world with order has to turn out this way. It could turn out any order way.
Right, again... I think the more we understand about science, the more we realize there aren't that many options of what would really work to get a world going. So, yeah, it's... So again, so... The reason I say this is not because I want you all to stop believing in God. Or I don't. But the not only not the purpose, I really don't. But to point out that I think at the end of the day, we're never going to prove it. I think these are all strong points which strengthen the idea. However, to say that this is a solid proof, I don't think we're ever going to come up with it. And I think that there's a reason that we can't come up with it. Because if we could prove God, then we could not deny God. And if you cannot deny God, you don't have free will. And I think being that there's... Free will doesn't have to be 50-50. Free will could be 70-30, it could be 90-10, it could be 99 point a lot to whatever's left. So I think that we might be able to demonstrate that it's far from 50-50, but to say that we're ever going to prove that there is God, we can prove that there is God. Because if you could prove that there is God, you couldn't deny God and you would lose free will. And it's definitely necessary that we keep free will. Now, again, just to go back to the point, so Chayra Kadmoni, Adam HaRishon didn't listen to God. Basic question, how could he do that? He had to believe in God, because the guy just spoke to him. That was all that there was. Right? There's no doubt about what God told him what to do. I told him, don't he? So how, if you know there's God, you know that God is all powerful, and he's got one request, how could you go against it? So the idea is that he had to have free will also. It wasn't a 50-50 free will, but you know, there is always this idea there has to be free will in the world. And if we would ever successfully, beyond the shadow of a doubt, prove God, that would be the end of free will. So again, I think this is a very good proof. It's a very good
proof. Your proof of Adam disproved your first point. He knew there was a God, 100%. He still had free will to do what he wanted. So proving
right.
God doesn't necessarily take away free will.
It takes away free will for Avodah Zarah.
and that's just one choice.
Right, but you need to have that choice. You need to have every single one of them.
Because otherwise, you would be, your argument would be, Hashem made you do it.
Again, right. The idea being that in order for me to get schar, I have to have done something. And that something has to be free will. I have to have the ability to make a decision.
No, he's right. Because if you, Adam Harmishon, believe 100% that God exists and whatever, then you know, if his children, they believe in God's existence, but they nonetheless had tithes.
Let's say, yeah, two sons and one killed the other. Let's hypothetical case. let's throw that as a possibility. Okay?
So the belief did not take away free will.
Right, but I'm saying, no, not totally, but there are parts of free will that have to be there. Yeah, if we want to develop the idea of salvation, it's a wonderful idea. And it goes a little bit like this. He says that, so the Gemara in Avodah Zarah tells us that there came a point in history where the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah were mevatel the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. It used to be that people had this desire to do Avodah Zarah. We don't have it anymore. I've got a lot of Yetzer Haras. I'm not going to say on tape what they are or in front of a crowd, but I will let you in on knowing that Avodah Zarah is not high on the list. Right? Yeah. So what happened to it? So the Anshei Knesset HaGadolah got rid of it. So how could they do that? Doesn't that kind of skew the issue? So Rav Soloveitchik has the following idea. Rav Soloveitchik said that there was a point in history, and obviously early in history it was this way, as we're discussing, where everyone realized there was a God. There's no possibility of denying God. There's the question of who or what was God. Is God what we call God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or is Ralph the Lettuce Head God? Those are the possibilities out there. And, you know, it was a tough call at the time. We don't necessarily understand it, you know, but this idea of not understanding Yetzer Hara is, you know, take a five-year-old kid and try to explain the Yetzer Hara for Arayas, you know. The Yetzer Haras aren't always the same for everybody.
But he doesn't know what Arayas are.
Right? You could explain to him, well, this is what it is, you know, you could spell it out, but still, the Yetzer Hara won't be there. Yeah, that's what they always say. So that's the way it was originally. What happened somehow, this idea of accepting a deity but denying HaKadosh Baruch Hu became overwhelming. And therefore they turned things around. But you can't just stop that. So what they did is they moved what we call the Nekudas HaBechira. It's not that people no longer had to decide who God is, but rather they had to decide that there was a God. Meaning that the standard Western religions nowadays kind of agree on God. You know, add a prophet here, you know, add a Holy Ghost there, you know, a little mix and match. But the major religions nowadays all kind of agree on the God, single God idea. You know, who's Tonto the sidekick, you know, that might get a little messy at times. But in general, we all have agreement on that, right? The people who deny the God, by and large, again, and this is probably true in Western religions more than elsewhere, you know, are atheists. They just don't believe. So the Nekudas HaBechira moved, that instead of us accepting God as a given and having to figure out what is God, right, the move is now we have to figure out that there is a God, but once we get there, it's not hard to figure out what. Which is why Rav Soloveitchik says there were some significant changes before and after that. That it would seem for many, many years, there were what we call open miracles, Neis Niglas. Right? Not only do you have the parting of the Red Sea and the like, but you would also have miracles like they would go on the Yom Tovim to the Beis HaMikdash. And they would sow the Lechem upon them that 7 days old is still 100% fresh. And they would also go and they would show that the Kruvim, even though they were made out of metal, were hugging each other. At some point, that stops. So Rav Soloveitchik says, that stops when this happens. Because at the point where everyone believes that there is a God, I just know what the God is, you can show me an open miracle and it doesn't do anything for me. Because, great, you proved there was God. I knew there was God. Who's causing this miracle? That's still open for debate. However, when the shift came And now we all realize who God is if we realize, if we accept it. An open miracle would take away what we have to decide, which is that there is a God. Because once you see an open miracle, you can no longer deny. And there are a lot of things that, if you think about it, tzaras. Whatever happened to tzaras? It's not that people stopped speaking Lashon Hara. Right? I'm pretty sure that's not what happened. Right? So what happened to tzaras? How come we don't get tzaras anymore?
It doesn't work.
Why doesn't it work?
You see one person with leprosy, you see a billion.
You've seen them all. Yeah, I mean, not. It's funny, once a dermatologist said to me, you know, people come in here with stuff like you wouldn't believe, and they really have no Cohen or anything. So, Rav Soloveitchik said that was the issue. If a guy would speak Lashon Hara, now he would break out with the leprosy. And then he said, I'm sorry, and it got better. How can you deny God? So his opinion is that Tzaras went when this change went, that anything that is really an open miracle can no longer happen, because that would mess in the Bechira in a way that the Bechira can't be messed with. So that's the idea.
Tzaras isn't really leprosy.
No, I mean, that's what we call it. You know, I think good people hear about my trip to the Adler Planetarium?
Right.
Okay, right. So in the Adler Planetarium, there is a book from the 14th century, which stands for the idea that we said that if a person eats milk and fish together, you get leprosy. It's just like it says in the Beis Yosef. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have two different proofs. One is the fact that the creation is a proof that there is a creator. And two is that the perfection of the creation proves that there is a creator. So call that 1A and 1B. The Kuzari has a different approach. Kuzari, Mam or Aleph, early on. So people are familiar with the Kuzari. Kuzari is written in the form of a dialogue between the rabbi and the king of the Khazars, who was probably a fictitious king in Africa. So in this part, the king asks, how do you know there's a God? So Amar Achaver. So let's people told you that the king of India, now India is far from Africa, is a really, really great guy. And he's a great guy and he takes care of his people and you should really respect him. Do you feel that you would be obligated to respect him? So Amar Kuzari, the king of the Khazars, answers, why? One is, I don't even know if India exists. I don't know if there's a king of India. Nothing is proven to me. Right? And if India is doing well, who knows it's because of the king? Maybe it's despite the king. Or maybe he's partially responsible. There are other responsible. Why in the world am I responsible to believe that such a thing exists? So, okay. Amar Achaver. Let's say his messengers came. And, you know, it's proven that they're his messengers. These people are clearly Indian. You talk to them, the way they sound, the way they can fix your computer. Clearly, there's no doubt about it. They come from there, and they're from the king's palace. And it's clearly what's coming is coming from him. And they come with medicines that are going to make you all better. Whatever is sickness you have, they take care of. Not only that, but they make sure that you remain healthy. And he also comes with the poisons that will kill all your enemies. And you can use these to kill them without ever having to go to war. He said, in that case, then would you have to give the guy some respect? If you prove that this came from him and he does that for me, you betcha. Obviously, I wouldn't deny that there's a king of India. And then I was, not only is there a king, but I would know that this affects me in a very real way. Absolutely. And if someone asks you, well, what type of guy is this king of India? What would you say? Well, I'm a originally I doubted it, but now he's done all these wonderful things, I no longer doubt it. So this is how I will answer your question. Your question about the fact that there's a God. Chain pasach Moshe, the daber in Paro, k'shamaro elokeha ivrim shalchani elecha. When Moshe first comes to Paro, he says, you know, the God of the Jews sends him. Ratzalom elokei Avram Yitzchak v'Yaakov, b'nei shehoy Avram uforsam etzal umos. Why do you say that? Because people knew Avram. Avram was a famous guy. V'chi yischaber aleihem davar elokim. He said, not the Creator sent me, right? Not the person who created me and you. Not the one who created the heavens and the earth. He said, the guy who took care of Avram. When God introduced himself to the Jewish people, what did he say? I'm the guy who got you out of Egypt. He doesn't introduce himself. Hi, I'm God. I created the universe, and that includes you. So what proves to us that there is a God was the fact that there was Yetzias Mitzrayim. Just like in order for the king of India to prove to you that he exists and he is worthy, he had to do something for you, so too God proves himself through the miracles he has done for us. And therefore, we believe in God. Why? Because we have this tradition going back, which is for us a tradition as good as actually seeing it ourselves. And the tradition proves that there was a God because God did this for us. So again, this is a different approach. The approach being that God had this revelation at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim and Maimon Har Sinai, and that revelation is the proof of the power of God. And once we understand that God has this ability and God has this power, we are forced to believe that it's God who created the earth. Not just God showed up out of the middle of nowhere and pulled off this great Yetzias Mitzrayim thing, but rather God goes back and God in fact created the earth, as it says as well. So that's another approach. The Sefer Yikarim takes you a different approach. Another interesting one. Just like, how do I know this recording device exists? I have senses. I see it. I feel it. I hear it. Sorry. So just like our senses tell us that this exists, so too, he said, we can also see God the same way. How? So there, at one point there was potential, and that potential became matter. Right? Going, this is obviously the Sefer Yikarim goes back a good 600 years ago, but again, we can apply it just as well to today's science. Right? We understand that according to, let's accept science is true, that there was an original hydrogen atom that had in it a certain amount of potential energy, and somehow that potential energy was brought out into what is now the universe. Kol ma sheyotze min hakoach hapo yesh bo motzi chutzo lo behechrach. Anything that goes from potential to actual being needs something to trigger that. Why? Well, as he says, and it's kind of obvious. Because if I didn't need to do something to bring it from potential to what it is, it would have been what it is right away. The fact that it was potential at some point and not yet, that proves that something had to happen to it. Because if nothing had to happen to it, it would have just happened. Got it? Think about it hard enough to get a good headache. V'mhoye motziyo bo, v'hoye ro moneo sho yimtza tamid b'po v'husar. Yine asher heser moneo. So you say, oh, it could be that it didn't need anything, but there was something that was blocking it. And when that thing left, it happened on its own. Okay, but something had to move what was blocking it. So that doesn't answer your question. In order for something to go from potential to being, there has to be an outside force which adds something, which takes away something, but causes this to happen. Because if not, it would never have been potential. So the bottom line of this proof is, we all agree that the world came from something and became something. It couldn't have happened on its own. There has to be a creative force, which if it did not create the initial thing, at least set off the reaction. So again, this to a certain extent is just a more advanced argument of the first argument that, you know, if there is a creation, there is a creator. The idea is the fact that something did not exist forever and now does exist means that there has to be some outside force causing it to happen. And since the universe did not exist, and now it does exist, there has to be something outside the universe which causes this. And that thing which is outside the universe has to be God, because everything else is in the universe.
So where did the potential come
from? So again, we believe that potential came from God as well. But this is saying that even to bring from that potential to real, that has to be God as well. So again, what we're proving here is that the creation happened by a God. Again, these are all strong points. One last is the Rambam of the Mor Nevuchim. These are all, by the way, very abridged. Anybody who's interested, you have the Mar Makomas here, you're more than welcome to look it up. These are just lines of larger proofs. The lines I think are the key lines, could be I'm wrong. Anachlo nemar al echem ibn adam shu cholos liyos bilti menia erav kikar. This is in the Rambam answering something that we said previously. The question that we ask, can God create a rock that's too heavy for God to pick up? If you tell me yes, God's not perfect. He can't pick up the rock. If you tell me no, God's not perfect. He can't make the rock. We have also mentioned that according to Chassidus, according to the Tanya, which again I'll point out I never read, the greatest miracle of creation was God's removal of God from the creation. Under natural circumstances, we should see God everywhere because God is everywhere. God's ability for God to at least seem not to be everywhere, according to Chassidus, is the greatest miracle. So the fact that God cannot be seen everywhere, does that somehow limit God? So that's kind of the same question. Can God make God disappear? Yeah.
Different direction. Does Mor Nevuchim ever ask, what if God doesn't care? So what if there's God?
So we'll get to that. That is another one of the Ikarei Emunah. Right? The fact that God is all-knowing, the fact that there's Schar Va'onesh, right? Schar Va'onesh is the point we discuss whether God cares. Right? First of all,
I'm remembering that the odd arguments that I heard in college and,
two or three years ago.
Weeks.
Oh, weeks, sorry.
How could this happen?
summer break.
Because I witnessed all of these hard, I mean, yes, the Holocaust, but for those of us that were not, didn't go through it, people that just go through normal tragedies, you know, obviously God doesn't like me or doesn't care, and why should I?
It's funny. I have a fellow who works with me, a lovely, lovely guy, and he has a synagogue as well. And I was talking once to his wife. And, we were sitting around, me and my wife, him and his wife, and we have not been blessed with a synagogue, so we can't appreciate the beauty that is Balabatim. And she said, "You're just not going to believe this." She said, "We have a woman in our synagogue who's married, but never felt herself limited by that, shall we say." And this woman, you know, everybody knew about it. And at one point, her husband just walked out on her. And she shows up one day crying, and she says to me, "Rebbetzin, why do bad things happen to good people?" Right, so everybody believes that, obviously, you know, obviously God doesn't care, and why do I deserve this? You know, and this is well beyond, and the Holocaust, well beyond the scope of the next minute that we have left. But I'm comfortable in saying that. But yeah, you know, that's obviously we're going in steps, and not in big steps, and perhaps not big enough steps that we'll have made it too far in the next few weeks. But the first step you have to believe is that there is a God, right? God doesn't like me, you know, God dresses funny, whatever else issues you're going to have, you know, that's further on. But we've got, right now, the first eker is there is a God. And we have to prove that there is a God. Right? And this is an attempt to prove it. Right? Ultimately, I think that all these proofs, none of them are perfect, and I think none of them can be perfect. I think if one of them was perfect, we'd be in trouble. But, you know, I think, but they definitely move it from the 50-50 more to the 90-10 type area. So the Rambam deals with this in the Mor Nevuchim in describing God. He said, a guy can't lift up 100 tons. He's a weakling. No. So he said, so the question he does is, can God make himself into a body? Now we know he does this from time to time. For example, in The Simpsons, you see God always has that long white beard. That's the obvious case that comes up, right? But really, God can't limit himself in that way, right? God does not, but the fact that God cannot limit himself does not make God any less God than he is, right? So any of these questions, which end up being sort of, you know, tricks with words, can God, so the next one he's going to say, can God make a circle that's a square? And, you know, every so often you try to describe him. You know, he's one of these tall, short guys that are kind of fat, thin. You know, right? He's got these, like, I don't know, blue brown eyes. You know, you know, the fact that these two, the fact that God can't violate the rules that He created, does not in any way limit God. God created the rules of nature, therefore God keeps the rules of nature. Time to time, He'll violate them as necessary. But the fact that a circle means one thing and a square means another thing, and you cannot make something that is both because they mean different things, does not limit God. So olivro kamoso. So the fact that God cannot make a second God, mini God, or something or the like of it, you know, that of course does not make God any less of a God. Olivro meruba tsilo shovel alexandro. Or say, can God create a square where the diameter is equal to the sides? No, by definition, you can't do that, right? And God made the definition, so therefore it can't be done. But that in no way limits God. So all of these wacky questions, that if you think hard enough, you get a big headache. These are just word games. That ultimately, they do not limit God. God is what God is. I really had great hopes for doing three Ikarim today. Well, I guess we don't need to make sheets for next week. Okay, thank you for coming. To be considered.
You can.